Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Halide Elgindi, who's a fellow in the Center for Middle East Policy at the Brookings Institution. He previously served as an advisor to the Palestinian leadership on permanent status negotiations with Israel from 2004 to 2009, and was a key participant in the Annapolis negotiations launched in November of 2007. And his latest book is Blind Spot, America and the Palestinians from Balfour to Obama. Welcome to Background Briefing, Halide Elgindi.
Thanks for having me.
And it would seem that since you've written about the history of America and Palestinians from Balfour to Obama, the latest chapter, the Trump chapter, seems to be a major departure in as much as I can't imagine that any Palestinian thinks that the U.S. is even-handed now with Jared Kushner and Trump's ambassador, the moving of the embassy to Jerusalem, and with Sheldon Adelson essentially appointing or being the guy behind the appointment of John Bolton. It's so stacked in Israel's favor that it's something of a joke, isn't it?
I would say, first of all, just a quick update. The book is now entitled From Balfour to Trump. So it does include a discussion of the Trump administration and his impact on the situation. But to answer your question, the United States, I don't think Palestinians ever expected that the United States would be an even-handed broker. But they did expect the United States to be at least an effective broker. And that is that they would at least put enough pressure on Israel at key moments and on key issues, when the situation required, on Jerusalem, on Palestinian statehood, that when all was said and done, even though the United States clearly cannot be considered an even-handed broker, they would at least do what was minimally possible to get Israel to, for example, end its occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. But what we've seen is, first, I would say, a deterioration of that expectation. There's been an erosion in the U.S. position over the past 25 years or more, and that is kind of culminating really in the Trump phenomenon. So Trump is really, in a sense, the most extreme manifestation of a process that we've seen under previous administrations, both Republican and Democrat.
Well, but isn't the basic, could you sum up the Trump attitude to the Palestinian negotiations and this idea that they have a new plan and somehow because the Palestinians aren't negotiating with them, they're punishing the Palestinians by closing the Palestinian Liberation Office's mission in Washington, which has been there since 1994. To sum it up, isn't the Trump administration's attitude to the Palestinians, it's my way or the highway?
I would say that this administration is in virtually 100% lockstep with the current Israeli government. And even though past administrations have always favored Israel, there's been enormous amount of deference to Israeli narratives and priorities and demands, as I said, both Republican and Democratic presidents, this administration doesn't even make a pretense toward trying to be somewhat fair or balanced. It has completely adopted the most extreme Israeli positions on Jerusalem, the decision to move the embassy and recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital, and to cut Palestinian aid to the Palestinians, to cut off aid to the UN agency that supports Palestinian refugees, which is unprecedented in 70 years of U.S. policy. So this administration has reversed all of these decisions and official policies, essentially to bring American policy in line with where the current Israeli government is. And in that sense, it is new. It's new in terms of the degree to which there is no daylight between this administration and what is essentially a very right-wing, hardline government in Israel.
And again, I'm speaking with Khaled El-Gindi, who's a fellow at the Center for Middle East Policy at the Brookings Institution. He previously served as an advisor to the Palestinian leadership on permanent status negotiations with Israel from 2004 to 2009 and was a key participant in the Annapolis negotiations launched in November of 2007. And his latest book is Blind Spot, America and the Palestinians from Balfour to Trump. So what about the broader, if you will, landscape there in the Middle East, the change that's underway because of the hostility between Saudi Arabia and Iran and the extent to which both Netanyahu and the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, MBS, seem to be trying to goad the U.S. into getting into a war on their behalf to take down the Iranian regime. My understanding is that that's changed the entire calculus in terms of the Sunni Arab regimes because of the hostility towards Iran. In other words, previously Saudi Arabians and others would say to the Americans, you know, or the Israelis, you know, we want to help you make a deal with the Palestinians, a final settlement, and that's always going to be a precondition for any relationships we have with you. They always made the Palestinian issue a precondition for negotiations. Well, now the Saudis and the Israelis sort of and the Egyptian military government seem to have a de facto alliance, and the Palestinian issue is no longer a precondition. It's not. It seems almost like an afterthought now.
It's true. There is a kind of convergence of interests between Arab Gulf states like Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates and Israel, particularly with regard to their common enemy, Iran. And as you know, and as probably most of your listeners know, the whole region is in turmoil and has been for the past several years. And the Palestinian issue has gotten pushed to the back burner. The crisis in Syria, the war in Yemen, the focus on Iran all have essentially trumped the Palestinian question, which has traditionally been a priority for key Arab states like Saudi Arabia and Egypt, and it's no longer that. And that is part of the dilemma that this current Palestinian leadership faces, in that it's not only trying to confront the Israeli occupation and a U.S. administration that is more or less in lockstep with Israeli policy, but also an indifferent or apathetic regional environment is also not helping. And I would add that the fact that Palestinians themselves are divided also doesn't help matters. So, you know, we have essentially a situation where Israel is trying to impose officially by having the United States adopt its policies to impose a solution on the weaker party, on the Palestinians, in the expectation that they will be too weak to resist. Their traditional regional allies aren't there for them, and their leadership is divided. And so this is, I think Palestinians will see this as an attempt to impose the status quo more or less indefinitely on the Palestinians.
So along with, I mentioned earlier that Sheldon Adelson, the casino billionaire who is behind the free newspaper in Israel that's basically a promotional campaign for Netanyahu, he has a lot of influence here. I think he's the second biggest donor, if not the biggest donor, to the Trump election, along with the Mercers. And it's pretty clear that Sheldon Adelson weighed in and made sure that John Bolton became the national security advisor. And now Bolton, of course, is not just, well, the State Department is closing down the PLO office in Washington, but Bolton is also going after the International Criminal Court. not that the U.S. has ever signed on to that, but he's also he's going after U.S. judges and people who participate in that court. That seems to me to be something of a lawless witch hunt. How do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, it's in a sense par for the course for this administration. You know, it's a very heavy-handed approach to. You know, it's not a very subtle or nuanced attempt to pursue its priorities. It's really pretty hand-handed, and essentially trying to bully international forums into abiding by its own set of priorities, which are not necessarily in the U.S. interest. You know, the United States is, you know, part of the calculation is that this administration, there is a, as you know, there is a trend within the Republican Party that is very anti-globalization, that is that is against international forums like the United Nations, part of the reason for cutting off, you know, it was like a two-for-one deal when the United States cut off funds to the UN agency UNRWA that provides assistance to Palestinian refugees. That was like a two-for-one deal because on the one hand, it is against Palestinians, which is red meat for Trump's political base, but also going after a UN agency, which is another issue that conservatives and hardline right wingers have they have issues with the whole international infrastructure, UN agencies and other international bodies. So the ICC is yet another one of these international bodies that this administration is ideologically opposed to. And so it's an easy target. But again, it's done in a very heavy-handed way without real consideration for how it affects U.S. national interests. But that's been true all along. From the moment that Trump decided to move the embassy to Jerusalem and to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital, that went against, longstanding State Department opinion and the views of the intelligence community that had opposed it as not only because Palestinians or the Arab world opposed it, but because it undermined U.S. credibility as a broker. But what we're seeing from this administration really is these decisions are being made purely on the basis of ideological disposition and domestic politics without any consideration for, never mind the rule of law, but without any consideration for U.S. national interest.
Well, just in the last couple of minutes, when you talk about domestic considerations in terms of what Trump is doing and Jared Kushner and all these pro-Israel people that they put in there in key positions, what they're pandering to, and certainly what Trump is pandering to, is the base of the Republican Party, the Christian Zionist base, if you will. I mean, that is such a sick perversion of theology. It's almost theological pornography, the idea that all of these born-again Christians who don't even believe in the Bible except for the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, which they're obsessed with. And the idea is that they love Israel because Israel triggers Armageddon, that triggers the end of the world, and people like you and me die in the consumed by fire in the lake of fire. So our lives end in burning flesh in order for these good Christians to be raptured up and to be born again. So it's not a good deal for Israel. So the whole thing, I find it really obscene. But that is at the heart of the support that Trump's base has for Israel.
I think it's true that obviously a big, an important part of his political base are evangelical Christians, or what you might call Christian Zionists. And, you know, without getting into the theology of their beliefs, you know, what's clear is that they are very strongly pro-Israel, and not just in support, you know, most Americans support Israel's security and continued existence and so on, but this is a constituency that wants to see, that believes in greater Israel, that Israel has a right to the occupied territories, a divine right, that these are biblical lands that belong solely to the Jews, and that Palestinians have no place there, and certainly shouldn't be sovereign over these, you know, what is the biblical birthright of the Jewish people. So that is that's clearly a factor in a very, you know, obviously important factor in what Trump in his decision making. But it's not a view that is held by the majority of Americans. So what we, you know, we have a president who is catering to really the fringe of the fringe in terms of you know, his political base, and again, without any real consideration for how it affects the United States and its national interests. Much less how it affects ordinary Palestinians and Israelis.
Well, Khaled El-Ghindi, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me.
And again, I've been speaking with Khaled El-Ghindi, who's a fellow in the Center for Middle East Policy at the Brookings Institution. He previously served as an advisor to the Palestinian leadership on permanent status negotiations with Israel from 2004 to 2009, and was a key participant in the Annapolis negotiations launched in November of 2007. And his latest book is Blind Spot, America and the Palestinians from Balfour to Trump. We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back speaking with former White House cyber czar Richard Clark on Russian meddling in the upcoming election.